Hello, hello, hello? Hello, and welcome to your new summer job at the new and improved Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria.
Too soon, Cleos, too soon.
That's right, ghouls and goblins. We just watched the Five Nights at Freddy's movie and are ready to serve up some fresh sauce.
We will be discussing our first impressions of the movie and going through all of the Easter eggs that we picked up on.
This will not be spoiler-free, so if you haven't seen the movie yet, go watch it and come back. That's okay. We'll be here. Alrighty then. Buckle up, gamer ghouls.
Welcome to another episode of Spooky Pasta Sauce, the pop culture and gaming podcast exploring mild, hot, and spicy chills and thrills. I'm your host, Momo, the spooky curious one.
And I'm your host, Cleo, the true believer. Stay informed by following us at Spooky Pasta Pod over on Twitter/X, and check out our new Instagram at Spooky Pasta Sauce. Now, let's dive in.
Five Nights at Freddy's, the movie, follows Mike, a troubled young man caring for his 10-year-old sister, Abby, who is also haunted by the unsolved disappearance of his younger brother more than a decade before. Recently fired and desperate for work so that he can keep custody of Abby, Mike agrees to take a position as a night security guard at an abandoned-themed restaurant, Freddy Fazbear's Pizzeria. But Mike soon discovers that nothing at Freddy's is what it seems. With the aid of Vanessa, a local police officer, Mike's nights at Freddy's lead him into unexplainable encounters with the supernatural and drag him back into the black heart of an unspeakable nightmare.
Spooky. On the fence about that one. It was a little on the mild side.
Truthfully, yeah. I would say truthfully, yeah. And I think that's a pretty good synopsis about what the movie is about, so.
It hits the key plot points, for sure, without making it too muddy, as we know the FNAF lore can be.
Yeah.
But maybe the reason it's a little more on the mild side is that they did go with that PG-13 rating.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So all the gory bits tend to take place off camera, which is cool. I respect that in a horror movie, you know, like you can allude to things and still be scary without being super in your face, blood and guts, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally get that. I don't watch many scary movies, so I don't think I really paid attention to what the rating was, but I was a little shocked that the gory bits did take place. Like, that makes more sense since it was PG-13, and I did appreciate it, even though I was hiding for many of them. But I was like, okay, good. I didn't actually miss anything. I just see the shadows. It's all right.
Uh-huh. Sound effects, it's all right. You know.
Yeah. And screaming in the background. You know, it's okay. It's all Gucci.
It's good. Mm-hmm. We had so many great moments straight out of the games in the movie. We start out hot with a 8-bit mini game style intro. God. That was so fire. It was so good.
I was so spot on. I was just like, this is giving me the creeps. And it's an 8-bit game. Like,
right? God. And you don't see any, like, terribly spooky things there either. Mm-hmm. A lot of the yellow rabbit at the pizzeria leading a child off by the hand.
Oh my God. Multiple children. It's like, if you know... then you know.
If you know, you definitely know that there's some shady business going down.
Yeah.
But we then see our previous security guard, which is also a lot like the games.
Yeah.
We're not the first and theoretically not the last security guard that will be working at Five Nights at Freddy's. Things tend to go wrong because these animatronics do have a free roam mode, just like in the games.
They do.
They really do. which was real spooky because it did, you know, we kind of alluded to this, talked about it. It gives those same vibes as the VR game when you can lean out the hallway and just watch them walking towards you. Like, God. It's so much spookier actually being able to see them move around instead of just like going from one screen to the next screen.
And I think, you know, how in some of the games, like, oh, they have face recognition technology. They definitely do because they are looking.
They make a lot of eye contact. Like,
like very uncomfortable. I'm like, oh my God.
Lots of eye contact, couple winks here and there.
Oh, yeah.
It was good. Very expressive. The animatronics were so well done, in my opinion. I think they definitely made the right call by going with the Jim Henson Studio to make their puppets. And it's fascinating to me that they're kind of like the suits in the games, like in the theory and the lore, because the bigger ones like Bonnie, Chica, and Freddy could all hold a person inside of them. Or they could be controlled more like traditional puppets, and like that's how they had to manipulate Foxy, because Foxy has robo legs. So I think you'd have a hard time fitting somebody in that suit.
I'd have real chicken legs to squeeze into that.
Or just be really short or flexible, you know? Yeah. just tuck your legs up here.
Oh my God, that's too funny. But yeah, I'm glad they went that route too, because they looked really good, like very lifelike.
Very lifelike, but also that eerie robotic movement. Yes.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And those footsteps, man. Oh, those got me.
Yeah, they did not cheap out on the sound effects.
No, there were so many sound effects and things, just like in the games, which is something I wanted. Like, sound is so important in the game, so I was happy that they incorporated that into the movie. One of our early examples is when Mike is watching the training tape his first night at the pizzeria, and the tape kind of like glitches. It totally reminded me of some of the hallucinations you can experience, like especially in that first game, like if Golden Freddy flashes up on your screen and it's just kind of like a, what was that? Did I really see what I think I just saw? Am I okay?
Oh my God.
Am I still in the game? Yeah.
Am I still at work right now? That was creepy. That was just creepy from like a movie stance of like, I don't know. There's something about like those old, like old TVs and like VCR tapes glitching out. Just like, no.
Well, one of my earliest scary movies was definitely The Ring. So videotapes are scary. I get it. You never know what might happen.
When they start freaking out, just throw the TV.
Just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Cut your losses. We also have some very casual jump scares from Balloon Boy, just like in the games. Not harmful, but very annoying.
Yep, I will agree with that. And it wasn't like just one. It was like multiple times.
Oh, it happened several times.
Every time, too, it got me. And I was like, Balloon Boy? Why?
And I feel like that's exactly how I feel whenever I see Balloon Boy in the games.
Yep.
Well, and especially because you usually won't die. You just get scared and then you have to keep going. And then you're too tripped up, somebody will get you. It's a distraction. But the little Balloon Boy figure that they used was super cute and totally reminds me of like all the Funko Pops and everything that we have, all of this glorious FNAF merch. And I loved the prize counter at the restaurant because it had some like creepy looking masks, so they were like giving nods to merch that is in the games, and then a lot of the plushies looked exactly like the little Funko plushies, which are just adorable, honestly. And then my freaking security badge that you got me, it's the same exact one.
I was like, what? Like, hello?
I'm so official. I'm the movie said it. I'm literally official. So I really did appreciate that they took the time to put those small details in. things like that, things like the Celebrate poster in the office that's just like so iconic, the fan on the desk, and even like the soda cup on the desk. Mm-hmm. And the cameras really do look like they do just in the games.
Oh yeah, on the little TVs.
And there's a few moments where you get to like watch what's going on in the restaurant through the video monitors, which I of course love, but I think it was lacking a little bit. Like, in my opinion, there could have been a lot more of that, and I wouldn't have been since upset or bored.
Yeah, since that's like what the games are all revolved around. That's all
the game is for the most part.
That and crying.
But it is fun that they were able to expand on it and show so much more and give you so many more details and present a more cohesive story than these games do, because we already know how confusing all of this lore can be.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And they did a good job too. Like, a lot of the details made it pretty clear to follow. Like, the little ghost children in Mike's dream were like, they looked like the animatronic that they were supposed to be possessing. Like, the little foxy kid had a freaking hook hand, and one of them had bunny ears, and the girl that was supposed to be Chica was like dressed in yellow, and she had a little sign hanging around her neck like Chica's bib. And then one kid had like a paper top hat to be Freddy.
Yeah, very cute. It made it very clear.
Very clear that the missing children.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And then also a little bit of time saved explaining these are ghost children.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So in the movie, what happens is like Mike keeps trying to have the same dream of when his brother is taken away, because he's trying to figure out like who took his brother. So then when he starts working at Fazbear's, the children start appearing in his dream, which freaked me out. I mean, children in general freak us out.
Ghost children. We've already talked about scary ghost children.
Yeah. And having them come into your dream to kind of be like interactive, because he could talk to them.
In his dreams, like, No, I don't like that. Yeah. I don't want to talk to ghosts in my dreams. That's a no for me.
We definitely didn't like have to question who they were, which is good. So very, very clear
no,
there.
No questions here. Like,
a lot of stuff to be a little muddy, so yeah.
Ooh, one early on surprise that we get in the movie that a lot of the fans I know were questioning or hoping for was a cameo from the game theorist himself, MatPat. The king of Five Nights at Freddy's lore. The timeline master. And he said the thing. But that's just a theory. I honestly don't even really know what all of his lines were, because I was like, it's Matt Pat. And he said the thing. He did it. So I enjoyed that. I know some fans are a little mixed on their feelings about Matt Pat, but he's so involved in the series at this point that I'm glad that they gave him a little cameo.
Yeah.
Pay tribute to the people who bring you the fans. Because seriously, he's the only one that was laying out a clear story until now. If you wanted to figure it out, you kind of had to go to a game theory video and be like, what does this mean? What does this mean?
Yeah. What is happening? Like, when is this happening?
Right? Like, even we have a few things, like the whole it's me thing that was written in dust on a mirror in the security office. But, like, who wrote it? What does that mean? Oh, so many questions, just like in the games. What does it mean? Honestly, I was a little bit disappointed that the first night was so calm.
Yeah.
Like, it was spooky because you got to see the ghost children, but nothing really happened.
Yeah, I agree. It was very tame, which I was surprised.
I feel like at least in the games, they start
rustling,
moving around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Making some noise, at least. Mm-hmm. Letting you know that they're things alive. But night two is where it kind of starts to heat up a bit. Mm-hmm. We get Foxy out and about, And that's never a good thing.
Nope.
Never. Never a good thing. Nope. Mike is trying to have his lucid dreams again, trying to figure out this mystery that's weighing heavy on him. And in his dream, he runs after the foxy ghost kid, which the whole time I was like, no, that's not a good idea. Why are you chasing the foxy kid? Why that one? So he chases the kid that's supposed to be foxy, and in his dream he gets hooked by the little hook hand.
That's not safe for children to play with.
Not safe. No, super not safe. I've never thought that Foxy was very child safe. But then after he hooks him, the scary ghost kid starts crying like black tears.
That was a no.
It was terrifying. I didn't like that. And then Mike wakes up and he's injured IRL too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some shady stuff going on with these ghosts.
Yeah, very creepy.
They're not mild.
No.
These are spicy ghosts.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree.
We also get a surprise visitor on night two. Police officer Vanessa shows up, and she is super odd and super obsessed with the pizzeria, giving off real weird vibes.
Yeah, she was obsessed from the start. Oh my god,
right, for real. And she tells Mike she used to be she used to love this place as a kid, and she also kind of leads on that she knows about the missing kids from the 80s, but then just like totally changes the subject. Also tries to have a dance party with Mike and all of the animatronics. But like, you're on shift, girl. What are you doing? Spending half the night at a pizzeria? She's an odd one for sure. Yeah. I had some questions about her behavior in the beginning.
Yeah. And I think to me, the odd thing was like, he was clearly injured and she noticed, but it's not like a normal injury. It was like a pretty deep gash in his arm because he got hooked.
Yeah, it looked and serious. She like
wasn't like, oh, she was like, yeah, that's really weird. But like, she didn't like question more about it. Like, how did that happen? Or I was like, I'd have a lot more questions.
She just starts saying that he's acting suspicious.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're the one that showed up here out of the blue and seemed real, to know all about it.
Yeah.
You're being kind of sus. Why are you calling me sus?
More informative than the training video.
I mean, a little bit. A little bit, yeah.
So interesting.
But there's still a few unknowns, a couple things that we keyed in on to kind of like date the movie were mall culture still being a poppin' thing. That was Mike's former job. He's a security guard at the mall, and it definitely does not go well. Mm-hmm. There also were Nokia phones and some Razer flip phones.
Razer flip. I was like, hello?
I had hello.
Yeah.
And the Chia Pet ad on the TV randomly. So we're kind of guessing it's probably like late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. But I love all the costuming and everything. Abby's clothes were great, actually.
Cute, yeah.
She was super cute.
Definitely was giving that late 90s, early 2000s.
For sure, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Especially her haircut. I felt kind of bad. I was like, oh, she looks so cute, so I don't know.
It worked. She was rocking it. Mike was doing the best he could as a caretaker. probably wasn't taking her to get regular haircuts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So Mike is, you know, he's just trying his best, trying to take care of his sister. But we have I think the description literally called her his icy cold aunt.
That's a good description, yeah.
Who is trying to say that Mike is not fit to have custody of this small child and is trying to take custody of Abby. And there's even accusations from Mike that like she's just in it for the money, for that monthly check from the state. Mm-hmm. She doesn't even care about Abby.
Mm-hmm.
which is kind of sad because Mike obviously really does care about Abby, and Abby really does love Mike. They have a great bond.
Yeah, that was very cute. Yeah.
Especially with him struggling so much over the loss of his brother.
Yeah.
It was nice that he obviously like still had a decent relationship with Abby, especially as siblings and now being in the parent role. Yeah. And he looks pretty young. Like he might be in his 20s.
I would guess mid-20s, early 20s, yeah.
Yeah. But his aunt tries to recruit Abby's babysitter, Max, to dig up some dirt on Mike so that his aunt can sabotage the custody case. And they don't have any dirt to come up with because literally Mike's just doing his best.
Yeah. I loved it. You said that my niece is nice and my nephew just sleeps a lot. She's like, he does sleep a lot.
That's what happens. That's what he does. Unproblematic.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Not criminal.
Except he's just got some trauma he's trying to work through.
Yeah. Doing his best.
He's doing his best, all right? Some other dude that was with the babysitter suggests that it would be an awesome idea to sabotage his new job that Mike really needs to be able to maintain custody. So they come up with this grand plan that they're gonna break into the pizzeria and trash the place so that he'll get in trouble because his only job is to keep people out. So we get a group of unsavory gentlemen breaking into the pizzeria, baseball bats and all. Oh, I guess it was a crowbar.
Yeah.
But they start smashing stuff and wrecking the place. And this does not make the animatronics happy one little bit.
Nope.
This is their home. You gotta respect it, okay?
Yeah.
They, of course, start wandering around and it's daytime, so they're in free roam mode. And the animatronics come after all three guys that broke in. And Max, the babysitter, was their getaway driver. So as soon as it's, you know, it's been a minute, nobody's coming out, she goes in to check on her associates. And that's where we saw the girl that got led to Freddy by the ghost child. So this little creepy ghost kid comes out and is luring her to the animatronic.
Yeah, it got worse. It's like, follow me.
Follow me. Just like in the mini games.
Yeah. I was like, no.
Where you're being led to led to your death.
Yeah.
And she follows. She follows this ghost child the Freddy animatronic. And I was right. She does get bit. She gets bit straight in half.
It was so gross. I was like in shock. I was like, oh my god.
I think that's much worse than the Bite of 87 and losing your frontal lobe because she straight up got bit in half. Oh, it was
So no.
It was intense. that one was a bit spooky.
Yeah.
This is kind of where we get to see a little bit more of that like true to the game stuff where we have Chica roaming around in the kitchen just like in the games. She loves her snacks, bro. And Cupcake, her little buddy, gets a lot of action, honestly, which was fun. That was fun because I don't know that Cupcake really gets to pop off in the games. I'm glad they got theirs. Except I didn't enjoy when the cupcake was eating that guy's face.
No, that was
an unpleasant image.
Yeah.
But also, just like in the games, Bonnie likes to hide in the supply closet. And Bonnie got a guy in the supply closet, which is honestly my biggest fear whenever you see Bonnie staring at you from the supply closet camera. I hate that one in the games. I hate it.
No.
And then the bodies just kind of disappear. That's just not, it's not dealt with until later.
Yeah. That was confusing for me. I was like, stuff's not adding up.
I was a little confused until later.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh,
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense, actually. And then because the bodies are the bodies are cleaned up, Mike just gets to go back to work the next night.
Mm-hmm.
No for night three. That's it. No, I don't know that anybody really knows the full extent of what's going on over there. So since he also cannot get a hold of his babysitter,
she got caught.
Mike has to bring Abby to the pizza place on night three after there was already a break-in. So questionable.
Mm-hmm. He's doing his best. You gotta do what you gotta do, I guess.
And we get a couple more jump scares from Balloon Boy.
Hate him.
Yeah, hate him. It's exactly right, Momo.
Yep. Because you're like already on edge because you're like, oh my god, these things do move. Because they don't really show them moving too much before the break-in. So now it's just like, I don't know. Now that after that, I felt like, because I'm like waiting for all the kind of jump scares you get in the game, you know?
Oh yeah, because as soon as like in the game, as soon as you get to night two, like it starts heating up.
Yeah.
They're after you.
Yeah.
They're not here to play. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess maybe they are, and that's why they're looking for you. And they find Abby and they want her to play. And mm-hmm. Mike is super freaked out because he sees the animatronics like walking around and hanging out with Abby.
Oh my god. Yeah. That I was real nervous because she was like screaming. Abby's like screaming. Mike wakes up from a dream and he's like, oh my god, where is she? I just hear the screaming. But then when he finds her, she's with like all the animatronics and she's like, oh, they're tickling me, lol. Oh my
god. Lol, it's a good time, don't worry about it, they just want to play.
What?
Meet my friends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
After he takes Abby home, lets her get a little bit of sleep, he asks her over breakfast if her imaginary friends are ghosts, and she gives the best line in the movie, best delivery, best line, best everything. He asks her if they're ghosts and she just goes, of course, how else would they make the animatronics move?
I was like, oh, it was that simple this whole time.
We were all just making it so much more complicated than it needed to be.
Yeah, okay.
Oh. And I just envision, you know, in my perfect dream world, them sitting down to write the scripts.
Mm-hmm.
It's them having, like, the writers, all the other writers having, like, all these questions about the games and the lore, like, how everything works. And then Scott Cawthon just being like, well, of course there are ghosts. How else do they make the animatronics move?
Just haunted by ghost children, duh.
Oh. Duh. Okay. It's just the ghost kids. What else did you think was happening here? We've made it very clear that they're ghost kids. So I really, really did love that moment. I think that was top 10 for me.
Yeah.
And then Abby also tells Mike that all the ghost kids ever talk about is this yellow rabbit.
I don't know.
Which is not good.
Nope.
Not good.
Nope.
And then we're on to night four. And it's a freaking party at the pizzeria. We got Mike. He had to bring Abby again because there's still no sign of that babysitter. And Vanessa shows up.
Yep. Again.
And it's made clear that everyone involved now knows about the ghost children. And
including just Vanessa.
Including Vanessa. Yeah, just like we thought earlier, she knows a little bit too much for an outside party, I guess.
Yeah, just being a cop on the beat.
On the beat, yeah. No. No, she knows way too much. And she even asks Mike if he has asked the ghosts about all the stuff that's going on. Like, it's just a casual thing that you would just know to do. Just ask did you ask him? Did you ask the ghosts?
Talk to them? What?
I don't know.
Oh my god.
And they also, okay, like we said, it's a literal party on night four, and they build a huge fort big enough to house all of the animatronics.
That was such a weird scene too. I'm like, what is going on in this movie? I don't quite understand what this bonding is.
It was super cheesy. It
Yeah.
was super, super cheesy,
So
honestly.
cheesy.
Like, okay, it's cute that they are ghost kids and all they want is just like to hang out, and
Yeah.
like it kind of makes sense that Abby's like, oh yeah, let's build a fort, because she has like a fort in her room at home. And then when Mike has to bring her to the pizzeria, he builds a little fort for her in the back. So it kind of tracks, but at the same time, the whole scene, I was just like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
This is weird.
I was like, I thought this was a scary movie. I'm very confused because this just seems very wholesome. Out
Right?
of place.
It was very wholesome. And
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, like a strange under context, because you know it's you're watching like a scary movie. So it's like, well, what's gonna happen next? You know, something's not right.
And it's already been made clear that we all know that they're ghost children.
Yes.
So I guess we're just building them a fort. And then everything turns sour when Abby gets shocked by Bonnie's electric guitar. And this is where we kind of escalate. Things take a turn downhill a little bit. And then Mike decides it would be a great idea to go back during the day and try and take some sleeping pills so that he can do more lucid dreaming and try and solve this mystery of his missing brother.
Yeah, so this is like the really creepy thing to me, I think, because Abby, her thing is that she draws a lot of pictures. So I think it was like between night four, right after night four, he went into her room and he saw the
No, I
picture.
think it was after the first night
What's
there.
after?
She had
Okay.
all of these pictures of the ghost children, and that's when Mike like started asking her questions and was like, "Hey, your friends, are they ghosts? Are these those dead kids that Vanessa was talking about?"
Yeah, but the thing is that she drew a picture of their brother that she's never met getting taken away in a car. So it's the exact scene we keep seeing him having in his dreams. And he's like, how do you know? Like, I'm not mad at you, but like, who told you about this? And it was like, I think it was probably one of the kids, right? One of the ghost children.
Yeah, it was one of the creepy ghost kids that told her.
Yeah. So that's why I think that's why he's so desperate to go back, because he's like, they
I
know
need to find
something.
out. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trying to ask the ghost kids who took his brother because he thinks that they know or that they might have been taken by this. I don't know if he thinks that they were taken by the same person just yet, but
Like there's
he
some
thinks that they
connection.
definitely know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he decides to go back. And while he's dreaming, he sees his family from his memory, his little brother and his parents, and the ghost children tell him that he could have that life again. He could fix what happened, whatever. He could be with that family. But in order to do that, he has to give the ghost children Abby. And his fake dream family encourages him to do it.
I know. I was like, oh my God.
And
Oh my
so
God.
he like makes the mistake of saying yes.
Yeah.
So now the ghost children are like, we're gonna get her. We're getting her. We're getting Abby. Ugh, so I did not like that. And then we see, isn't it the ghost children attacking him in
Yeah,
his
'cause
dream?
he immediately, like, after he kind of like says yes, he realizes like,
He's made a mistake.
yeah, he's like, no, Abby's still here. I need to take care of Abby with my family. She's like my only family who's left here. So then he starts like saying no, like he changes his mind, and then he starts getting attacked by the ghost children in his dream. So like in the woods, they're running, kind of like running really fast around him, and he keeps getting like slashed on his body. I think he gets like slashed in the front, slashed in the back, and even his leg. And like we said earlier, that it's like a gash. It's like a deep cut. So right now he's dreaming and this happens to him. So then when he wakes up, oh my God, when he wakes up, it was so crazy.
The animatronics have carried him off to the parts and services room, and we see the bodies of the people who broke in earlier
No.
And some of them are even like shoved into old animatronic suits, just like Phone Guy told you could happen in the games. So that's when it like clicked for me, and I was like, oh, obviously the animatronics cleaned up after themselves. Mm-hmm. They took the bodies and tried to shove them in suits, just like Phone Guy said would happen.
Yep. And they're also trying to shove him into one, right? Because they have him like trapped up.
They have the scary like mask coming at him, yeah, with like all the blades and stuff in it, which no, was real spooky.
No.
And he breaks free.
Somehow.
Oh. But it's Vanessa that finds him.
Yeah, I know.
Which is so sus. Like, seriously, how does she always know? How does she always know what's going down?
Because he was like crawling for his life. Like, it blacks out and we don't really like... No, you know how they do that? He's like obviously holding on for life. It blacks out. We're like, oh, what happened to Mike? Oh my god.
And then he wakes up in a strange location and Vanessa's just there.
It was very strange. It was not a police station.
No, she said it was like a weird supply hut or something. Which doesn't really track for me.
Yeah, me either.
I feel like that wouldn't be a good idea.
Yeah.
We'll just keep a bunch of guns and tasers and first aid kits and stuff over here, really far away from any of the police stations, just in case we need to get to it.
Right. She's like, I patched you up, but you might need stitches. I can't do that here. But what? Where are you?
And then tells him that the only way to fight the animatronics is electrocution. So just hands him like a big old cattle prod and is like, okay, here you go. You're on your own.
Yep. And he's just like he doesn't even ask her question. She's like, are you coming with me?
No.
She's like,
I can't do that.
No, I can't. No, I can't. I can't do it, but you can't. Yeah. Very sus. Like, she's been helping them this whole time. Like, especially helping him. Like, she like scooped him and I guess wrapped him up.
So I think Mike finally is like, okay, what is going on? Like, who are you? Why do you know all this stuff? Like, why do you know about all the kids? Why do you know about the guy that took them? Tell me who he is.
Yeah.
She obviously has way too much information. And then she drops a big old bomb on you and tells you that she is William Afton's daughter, the dude who created the pizzeria and the animatronics and all of that. She is his daughter, and shows Mike a photo of her with the yellow rabbit.
Oh my god. And she even had like the little airplane that his brother has in every dream he's playing with. So I was just like, oh my god, no. This is like too much. This is messed up.
True crime facts. Sometimes that's the thing that serial killers will do when they take trophies from their victims. It's like if they take jewelry or something, they'll like give it to their wife or their girlfriend.
Oh my god, that's even worse. I just thought
and
it
be
was
like, here, I got this for you.
No,
I bet you he gave the plane to his kid.
That's even more messed up. What the heck?
That was my first thought immediately.
I'm shocked and very disturbed now. Oh my
Sorry.
God.
Oh,
it's even worse. But she didn't know, because she was like, I didn't know about your brother, but she did know.
She knew about the missing children. She just didn't know that one of them was related to Mike, this security guard that she's just trying to help out because she cares so much about Freddy Fazbear.
This rundown, abandoned piece of place. It all starts to add up, yeah.
Oh, but it does kind of start coming at you fast.
Oh yeah, it definitely does. Starts dropping all the information.
Starts climaxing, She's just like, oh yeah, it's William Afton. It's the dude that, started the restaurant. It's the yellow rabbit. That's a murderer. He killed all these kids. He shoved their bodies into the suits. That's why they never found them. That's why the animatronics are so super haunted, because it's not just their spirits in there, but their bodies are still in there too.
So gross.
She also explains that William Afton has like a weird power or like control over them. He's able to influence them in a way. So now Mike is super scared because Vanessa not only told him that William Afton is now coming after him because he's starting to piece together this puzzle that he's the guy that killed his brother. And oh yeah, the ghost children are after Abby. So he has to go to the pizzeria to try and save his sister. And Abby gets brought to the pizzeria by Golden Freddy.
Yeah, it was just so crazy. So, like, at the same time, like, when Mike went to Freddy's, he actually called his, like, icy cold aunt to come watch Abby. And she was obviously
there's no
really
babysitter.
Yeah. There's just, like, no support, no help for this guy trying to make it. This really freaked me out, because while she was watching Abby, one of the ghost children came into the house. I'm like, okay, so these ghost children can, like, travel that far. Like, who knows how far away
they can leave the pizzeria? Yeah.
And, like, come talk to her. They're like, hey, do you want to come play? And she's like, yeah, I do. So she just, like,
packs
her little backpack. Oh, my God. They don't even say bye to Auntie. She's, like, on the floor. He's like, oh, I think she's taking a nap. And she's like, oh, yeah, LOL.
LOL, it's fine. She's totally just taking a nap. You're right. Yeah. I trust you, ghost kid.
Yep. And then there's Golden Freddy, like you said. Looks a little messed up.
Missing an ear, different color
eyes. No questions. You know, we're going to go hang out and play, so it's okay. So,
yeah.
That was another cameo, right? When they went into the taxi.
They hop into the back of Corey X. Kenshin's cab.
He was good. I liked him.
He was good. He also got a little post-credit scene, too. And a freaking balloon boy jump scare.
Oh,
hate balloon boy.
Yep.
So Mike shows up to the pizzeria and everything goes down. Vanessa has a change of heart, shows up, decides she's gonna help out, calls her dad an evil, awful person, and then her dad freaking kills her, stabs her right in the stomach.
Yeah, and while all that's happening, they're also were trying to, like, shove Abby into a suit to make her like them. It was just a lot going on. It was just crazy.
Yeah, they're trying to take Abby to the back and shove her in a spring lock suit. Yeah. As soon as they start throwing actual, like, game information at you, it's, like, so fast. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they took their time explaining Mike's backstory and everything. But then as soon as it's, like, anything about the games, they're like, and then this, and then that, and then here we go, and then this is happening over here, and then we have that, and I know about this, and this is why, and... It just all starts happening really fast.
Yeah.
So I guess the pacing is, it's a bit off, in my opinion. Like, it could have been a little more balanced.
Yeah, I can see that.
But the conclusion of this all, the height of the action, we get what apparently a lot of the fans wanted, which I think is weird. Like, I don't understand why everybody wanted to see William Afton actually get springlocked.
Oh my God.
Like, that was, I guess, a thing a lot of people wanted. I don't know why, but it was there. They delivered. You got it. It happened.
They wanted to make sure that was actually part of the lore. I mean, believe it unless we see it with our own eyeballs.
We need to see him get squished. And crushed to death. I don't know. So Abby explains to the ghosts that William Afton, the yellow rabbit, the one that all these ghost kids keep talking about, is actually the guy that killed them.
That was a cryptic drawing she did. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, she drew the yellow rabbit very scary and angry with, like, a knife.
Oh my God.
And then a bunch of just dead children.
It's like, what?
She had to draw it really quick, okay? So as Vanessa is being stabbed and killed by her dad, well, I guess she doesn't die. She ends up in a coma at the end. So maybe she'll get a comeback. She'll get to be in the sequel. But while she is being attacked by her own father, Abby is drawing this picture to explain to the ghost children what's going on. And the ghost children are like, oh, shit. And they immediately turn on William Afton. Yeah. And they're the ones that attack him. And that's how he gets springlocked. And as he is getting locked, he says, I always come back. Which is also from the games. And a pretty good way... Okay. It's from the games, and it's also a pretty good way to lead into a sequel, which I've heard rumors that it is already in pre-production.
Is it? Very interesting. Okay.
Which I'm super down for. I'm ready. And maybe now that they've spent... Okay. My hope, if there were to be a sequel, is that we spent this time with the backstory for these people, like you obviously wanted us to be attached to Vanessa, Mike, and Abby. So if you bring them into the sequel, we don't have to spend all that same time doing the backstory and the explaining and making you feel attached to these characters. And maybe we could actually get more into into the game stuff, you know? The spooky stuff.
I don't know if I... Because this is obviously, to me, it seems this takes place at maybe one or two, right? So if they were to do... Well, probably one. I would say this movie probably takes place during, like, game one. So I think it would be kind of cool if they did, like, game two when the actual restaurant's in operation. Or maybe even three when it's, like, the haunted house. I think that would be kind of
Ooh, that would be freaky. Make it in the haunted house.
Because I think people kind of understand. Like, if you haven't played the games, this movie is probably like, what the hell is happening? What is going on?
Oh, for sure. 100%.
But if you, like, could get into it from watching the movie, now you'll, like, understand, like, what is happening. So they wouldn't have to do a lot of that, like, kind of, like, background stuff, at least about that. It definitely could be more gory. Like, I think the games themselves are very jump scary. I wouldn't say they're very much of a gore game, but I feel like this movie could get into that aspect of what is happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if there's more story that they could tell. I mean, maybe with Vanessa. I could see Vanessa coming back, but I'm like, leave Mike. Let Mike try to thrive.
Leave Mike alone.
He's been through it, okay?
He needs a break.
Yeah.
He needs a break.
At the end, they do show them, like, a couple weeks later.
And he visits Vanessa in the hospital, talks to her while she's in the coma. So that's how we know she survived.
Yeah. But then, like, he talks to, like, I don't know if it's, like, Abby's doctor or Abby's teacher. And she's like, wow, Abby's, like, so well-adjusted now. Like, I don't know what you're doing, but it's great.
But it's great. Night and day.
Like, she just survived the most traumatic thing that could possibly happen to a child.
She just saw somebody get stabbed and William Afton get spring-locked. Like, are you sure she's okay?
Like,
and then watched what would happen if she had been shoved into that suit.
Yeah, like, I don't know if the pieces were adding up for her because she's a kid, but, like, yeah, she's doing okay. She's thriving, so.
Thriving. Like, oh, maybe not hanging out with ghost children anymore. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you are right, though, because at the end she was like, oh, can we go visit them?
Yeah.
It's like, you never know what will happen. I'm like, that's a very diplomatic guardian answer. So, yeah, maybe they would bring them back. Yeah, you're right.
I kind of think that they could, because this is a little bit like what happens in the games. Like, William gets, he gets fused to the suit, but then he comes back and he's still causing mayhem and doing stuff. So I don't think that where we left him is where his story ends. For William Afton, at least. Which is also why he was like, I always come back. So I kind of think that they'll keep going. Like, maybe you're right. Maybe they'll jump to three and do, like, some haunted house type stuff. Or maybe it'll be kind of similar, like, to the books. Because in the books, like, the pizzerias have been shut down for a really long time. And a group of kids who also kind of, like, Mike had a tie, like, had a friend who went missing back in the original cases of the missing kids in the 80s. They want to go back to the pizzeria and see the animatronics, kind of like Abby's like, oh, can we go back? And so they straight up are like, yeah, let's just go break into the pizzeria. It's still there. And then that's when, like, things get jostled. But also, I think, like, three is when William Afton, or Springtrap now, I guess, is kind of, like, unleashed from where he's trapped at.
Ooh, so maybe that's where it would go next.
To three? That would probably be my guess. And I think in the rumors I saw, they did say it's in pre-production and that they want to do a sequel, not a prequel.
Okay.
So because then, technically game two is a prequel to game one. So I think that, they might just jump to three.
Ugh.
Or, I don't know, we got four, we got sister location, we got help wanted, we got custom night.
There's a lot. There's a lot of material, source material to pull from.
Oh, there's so much lore going on in sister location. So I think there's quite a bit of possibilities, and I'm sure if they really wanted to, they could make it a franchise and not just, like, two movies or a trilogy or something.
I guess
I don't know. I liked it. I really liked it. And I made Momo watch all the way to the end of the credits. And we heard the scary, spooky robotic voice, just like in the mini games, that's spelling out stuff for you. And we wrote down the letters so we could find out what it said. And it said, "Come find me."
Nope. Not interested.
Not interested.
Sorry.
William Afton's calling out to us. He wants someone to come find Springtrap, release him from his prison.
Me out.
Let him back out on the streets.
Keep him in that supply closet. Don't let him out.
It was a good time.
I totally agree.
8 out of 10.
You give it an 8 out of 10?
8 out of 10.
Oh, what would I give it? I will say it definitely is not as scary as I thought it was going to be.
Oh, I thought it was very mild,
too. I think it's because I've been too involved in the lore and watching the game.
You're one of those fans now.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know, but
you're in the target audience.
Yeah, I would say it was pretty mild as far as like jump scares and scary stuff. I would say there was a bit of gore, so like if you can't do gore, then it's probably it's gonna freak you out. There are some scenes that will definitely freak you out.
Yeah,
but oh yeah, so 8 out of 10. It's pretty good, yeah. I would give it like 7, yeah.
It wasn't quite perfect. I think the pacing could have been a little bit better. I think there could have been a little bit more, like we said, action at the pizzeria versus like spending time on like Mike's whole thing that he's got going on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying it didn't work. I just think that the time could have been split up a bit different to keep it more engaging, a little more exciting. Yeah.
A little more engaging, a little bit more about Fazbear's, because it was a lot about like Mike and his history, his sister, which makes sense because they want you to feel like connected to these characters that you don't know if they're gonna survive the Five Nights at Freddy's, like
exactly. Yeah. So I understand it, but no, I think that's really the only thing that I was like, nah, because I love the animatronics. I thought the music was great. I love that they used the Living Tombstone song as end credit song.
Oh my god,
such a banger.
I was like, yes, they did it.
I think the acting was really good. Matthew Lillard did a great job. I feel like he must have listened to all of the Phone Guy tapes in order to really perfect that that scene that he got to do on the phone with Mike, which was nice. I did enjoy that. I really liked it. The costumes, the music, the animatronics. It was spooky, but not too spooky. It was a little cheesy, but not like...
not too much. It was just enough.
Just enough.
For being Five Nights at Freddy's. I don't know. I think it really fits into like the brand identity of like, the game is.
You gotta have a little humor.
Yeah.
It's a strange, funny concept.
Yeah. For sure. Oh my gosh. Okay, so would you recommend?
Oh, heck yeah. No, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna watch this at least 2 more times and convince other people to do it with me. Like, I'm sure I'll get my besties to watch it. I might even get my player 2 to watch it with me. I don't know. He doesn't really like scary stuff, though. So
it's not that scary, though.
So. Right?
I think it's a really good Halloween movie for people who, like, want to watch a scary movie but also don't want to be like having nightmares about it.
Right. So not a hardcore horror.
Yeah. No, yeah, definitely. It's a good blend of things.
Nice blend. Well, that's my take on it. Should we look into what the critics said?
Five Nights at Freddy's has been out for, I want to say, at least 24 hours.
I would say 48 at least, because it did come out midnight on Thursday.
Okay. So we've gotten a lot of reviews, both from critics, the fan base. So let me read you some of the highlights and let's get some of your reactions, okay? So Rotten Tomatoes, which we already knew because they put it right on Peacock, which I was kind of surprised. I was like, okay, 26% out of 100 was their tomato meter. This is 128 reviews from critics. Although the audience score, which had over 1,000 reviews, was at 90%. So a lot of variation there, but I really did enjoy some of the critics, like what they had to say. So let me read them to you.
I'm ready.
Okay, the first one's like Teletubbies with chainsaws or knife wielding thimbles. It's absurd, but not in a good way.
Not in a good way.
good way.
See, that's what we're saying. God. You got to have a little bit of fun because it is FNAF.
It's definitely niche. Oh my God. Another one was, I was more bored than scared.
See, it's that pacing.
Yeah, I think it is that pacing. I think that's why we're kind of like, yeah, it's more of a mild type of movie. So that one, I'm like, okay, I could see like if you weren't into FNAF and you're just trying to like see what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that kind of checks. Okay, almost worth a recommendation, but when a film about animatronics killing has very little animatronics killing, many won't get their money's worth.
I was a little surprised that there wasn't more.
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yeah. Or like more jump scares.
Or at least jump scares, yeah.
That wasn't freaking Balloon Boy.
It was not Balloon Boy, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. So that was interesting. And then this last one, for something that features an enormous robot chicken armed with a cupcake, I will say they did do a lot of Chica promo. It's an oddly serious, even dour movie.
I was like, okay. A little bit of a downer. Okay.
I guess I get that. The vibes. Because I think it's because Mike's just.
It's all about murder. He's dealing with some trauma.
Child kidnapping.
Feeling guilty, survivor's guilt, all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's dealing with some heavy things.
Yeah. So it has come through. Trying to be a parent. God, he's going through it. So at least at the end, he's thriving. Or at least Abby is, I guess. So those were all the reviews from Rotten Tomatoes. IGN also gave it a poor review. It was 4 out of 10. Bad. This big screen take on the indie horror sensation has too much plot. And
too much
not
plot.
Enough of the game's primal security cam thrills.
I feel like that person's not a fan. Man.
Yeah. I mean, I also feel like watching a movie just through security cameras probably would.
That would be more bored than scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
That for sure. I do understand. Also, you have so much more opportunity in a film than in games. Well, these games specifically with this format to tell a story instead of just like, oh, here's a little Easter egg of lore. Here's a little bit. Here's a puzzle piece. Here's that. What's going on in this mini game?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No, I totally agree with that. So
also, I think that's what a lot of, you know, like hardcore fans of the game are like really longing for is like a clean laid out
story they want.
What's going on?
Some substance. Like,
we know what the security cameras look like. We see the spooky animatronics walking around, but why? Why are they walking around?
Yes. Yeah. And I really do feel like you answered that within the movie.
Because they're ghosts.
Yeah. Yeah, they're ghosts. That's how they move the animatronics.
It's so simple, you guys. It's so simple.
Crying. It's like, oh my God. Okay. Okay. Well, this is last one, which has more of a positive spin, I would say. IMDb gives it a 6 out of 10. It's like, okay. A good time. You know, that's good. That's a good starter. Fantastic visuals. Way for thin story.
Disagree.
I was like, okay. Ouch. Ouch. Another one was 9 out of 10 for looks, 3 out of 10 for screenplay. I was like, oh,
did you hear that line where she said, well, duh, they're ghosts? Were you listening to the same dialogue that I was?
Did you hear that gold? Oh my God.
Have you ever heard a phone guy tape?
The last one definitely can resonate. It says it's for the fans to have a good time, which I agree with that one, right?
Hard agree. I think that this movie was for sure made for the fans, and lot of the critics were not wrong. That if you are not already a fan or not already introduced at least a little bit to this lore, it might be confusing or might not be for you.
Yeah, depends on the expectations that you have, I would say, of like how much you know what you're going into, I guess. But definitely, I agree with that for the fans. Google already has over 4,000 reviews. It's at 4.4 out of 5.
Oh, dang.
And everything is so, like, if you want an in-depth review, go there, because people literally wrote like 5-page essays. I was like, wow, fans are, they are definitely excited.
It is
so,
an intense fandom. We did warn you.
Everyone was like, this was worth the wait. Animatronics, 10 out of 10. And I would say these are probably the folks who really were there for the plot. A lot of the reviews I read, they're like, great plot, great story. I think after you piece together so many Easter eggs for like, 10 years to finally have a cohesive story from start to end is probably very satisfying.
Oh, so satisfying.
Yeah.
Yes. I was pleased. it ticked a majority of my boxes, I would say.
Good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I liked it. I'm ready. I'm ready for a sequel. Let's go. Let's go. Second watch. Here we go. Momo, oh, you down? Gosh. You down?
Get some more popcorn.
Thank you all so much for joining us this week as we discussed Five Nights at Freddy's, the movie.
Special thanks to our loyal patrons. We truly appreciate your support. If you would also like to support the podcast and join our creepy crew, visit us at patreon.com/spookypastasauce.
Happy Halloween! Catch you on the flip side!